I want to talk about the season of favor. And I want to tell you, all I can hear from God right now is advance. You need to move past some stuff. But let me read the Word of God, Psalm 102, beginning in verse 13. And here's what the Lord says, and the psalmist: "You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. And so the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion, and he shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. This will be written," watch this, "for the generation to come." I mean, here it is, you know, 1400 BC. "This shall be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. He looked down from the height of his sanctuary from heaven, and the Lord viewed the earth." Why? "To hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord." Here God declares that favor has come. Now I want to explain something about favor. Everybody doesn't get favor. Grace everybody gets. The word favor in Hebrew means when one bigger, richer, and stronger than you takes a moment to bow out of where they are to where you are, extending their hands to lift you up and sow into you everything you're going to need to do, everything you ought to do, and more in abundance. But everybody doesn't get favor. Because even though it is done by grace, God favors some over others. Oh, well, God is no respecter of persons. No, he's not. But he does have favorites. I don't believe that. Well, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor. If you can increase in favor, you can. I know you got quiet because you're Americans and you believe in fairness. It's just a lie. I got to tell you something. I got grandchildren, and some of them have positioned themselves for more favor than others. Those that come to see Popsy never leave without a reward. God doesn't play favorites. Oh, yes, he does. God loves a cheerful giver. Does that mean he doesn't love somebody that doesn't give cheerfully? No, he loves everybody, doesn't he? Yes. But if somebody's really happy, hilarious, about sharing what God's done for them, there's a special glow that comes on our Father when he sees that happening in our life. So, Brother Ron, if that's true, tell me the extent and what this favor is. I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to quickly show you in this psalm five ways to position yourself. It's not about grace here. It's about your position, where you are. Whether or not that, because favor is personal and often geographical, where you are. He was in the right place at the right time. You ever heard that? That's favor. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Yep, that's favor. That's not fair. Sorry. You were late. Favor came and you missed that season that came. Let's look at our text quickly and explain this favor thing to you so that you'll understand it. "But you, O Lord, shall endure." Look at verse 12. Endure is the Hebrew word yashab. I don't know why endure is here, because it means literally to lie in ambush for yours or your friend's enemy. The Lord is lying in it. You may think he's not around. You may think he's hidden. You may think he's not hearing you, but the Lord's lying in ambush to take on everything the enemy has for you. That's favor. More of you, more than one ought to shout it over that. And the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise, takum in Hebrew, to stand up against and succeed. God is lying in ambush where at just at the right time he will stand up on your behalf and guarantee your success. That's favor. Now the enemy, right now I can feel the enemy saying to some of you, that's not really true and that's not for me. Don't you allow the enemy will come and steal what I'm about to put in your life. You focus on what I'm saying. Amen. The one of you that has the most struggle with what I'm saying is the one that needs what I'm saying today. You will have mercy on Zion. Now watch this, for the time, yes, the set time has come. Now I want to show you something here. Two different words for time. The word time first, the time has come, is the same word translated eternity anywhere else. So what does it mean? The moment when eternity comes into time. Yeah. Somebody say breakthrough. Breakthrough. You see, there's a world, there's a thing on YouTube, you ought to go see it. It shows the earth, and then it shows the earth in the solar system. And then it shows the earth and our whole solar system over here in the Milky Way. You can barely see the earth. Then it shows our galaxy among just a handful of the millions of galaxies. You can barely make out the earth. But all of this created order had a beginning. We're living in three dimensions, but there's a heavenlies, there's a spiritual dimension, there's a world and a life beyond this life. And we have access to the other realm now. And when God bends down in favor and breaks out of that place, he brings eternity into time for that moment. And that which is impossible can in that moment become possible. That's favor. The time, eternity, breaking into time. Now it says the set time. That's the Hebrew word moed. It's the word for the feast of Israel. How do you know that Israel has nine feasts? Seven of them we know more about. But these are set times in the calendar. These are moments in time. These are points where God determines to release favor. You say, well, we don't have feast days. Well, how many know he established the first day of the week? You're here. Everybody say set time. See, and the feasts were at a certain place. Zion. And I want you to know Zion is a lot more than religion. And a lot more than a mountain in Jerusalem. Zion is the church. And I'll show you that in a moment. God has determined to set his favor in the gathering we call the church. And I love our city, but you know, everybody and their three brothers thinks there's a church. And I know where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst. But the question is, are all these gatherings, do they have anything to do with the Great Commission? And you know, if you're coming here and not being blessed, I wouldn't come here. I am blessed here. That's why I like to be here. And when we're positioned where we're supposed to be, at the time we're supposed to be. At the moment when the climate changes. At a moment when the atmosphere is different. At the season change. When heaven breaks through. Eternity, that time, that eternity breaks into our life here. And let me make this simple for us East Tennessee folks. How many sick people in heaven? So if heaven breaks through in a moment, what can happen for sick people? They can get well, can't they? Many of you are like me, you're advanced in years, mature and wise. Some reason we live beyond our 70, promise. But you know there are moments, and it's always in awakening moments, when I don't feel that old. Somebody said, well, why do you hang out with all these young preachers? Because when I'm around them, I don't feel old. How is retirement? I don't know. Just because I've shifted what I'm doing doesn't mean I've quit. And I promise you, if you get under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, every pain in your body will disappear. Amen. I'm not saying it might not come back, because until you get the new one, you're stuck with this one. You need to understand, though, that the breakthrough of God's favor annuls everything that's going on in the three-dimensional world you and I live in. God, help me not to go into quantum physics right now. But what I'm telling you is the scientific reality, not just a biblical reality. I'm telling you there are other realms. It's called the heavenlies. And right now, we can't get there in this body because flesh and blood can't inherit all that the kingdom has for us. But I promise you, if you fast and pray, if you follow the kingdom principles of the Sermon on the Mount, if you step into the kingdom world, you can access that other place. You can take on the devil that's fighting you. You can get into the realms of the heavenlies. And I want to tell you, eternity will break into time in your life. And God will begin to move in his extreme favor in your life. Having said all that, and I'm going to get very, very simple. I'm gonna go through this psalm, and I'm gonna show you five simple things that position you for favor. One thing you need to do, and that I'm gonna try to do, it's very hard, is to forget about what's been going on. This isn't one of the points. This is just free. I'm chasing a rabbit. Shut up and forget it. And move on with your life. Is that okay with everybody? And I'm peaceful. Are you worried about the Middle East? Not a bit in the world. Because I read my Bible, and if you've been here long enough, you've already been taught that Iran is Persia, and that Persia and the Prince of Rosh, Russia, are going to be against Israel. So guess what's going on? I didn't have to call an expert at Harvard. I just happened to get a flashlight and open the Bible and read it. And we know what's going on. So I want to announce to you that in 2020, whatever happens politically, you do your part, but whatever happens politically, we win. He always causes us to triumph. And if the enemy tries to kill what God's doing, he'll wait 3 days and raise it from the dead. Yes. All right. How many of you want to be positioned for favor? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If I could tell you how to do it, and it means that some of you today are going to have to make a decision, watching on television and right here, that you're going to have to make some choices. See, things don't just happen accidentally. You know, there are choices in your life. Well, I just have been praying, and I just believe everything's going to be all right in America. Well, guess what? In America, you get to vote. Whether it's left or right, if you don't vote, shut up. Vote your convictions. But don't sit around and complain, and then you never do anything. for anybody or try to help anything. Vote your convictions. Do something. Make a choice. That's not one of the points. Lord have mercy. Y'all going to stay here with me a little while?
Yeah.
Not going to be long, but I need a little while, okay? All right. Here they are. Number one. If you want to be positioned for favor, move to a higher level of praise. Look at verse 13. You will arise and have mercy on Zion. For the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. Then in Psalm verse 18, this will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Now look at that. This was written before we were even thought of, except by the eye and the heart of God. But David wrote this thing. He said, I'm writing this because there's going to be a generation that's going to be created. Do you know that is the exact word, bara, for the creation of the universe? God said, I'm going to create a people. Guess who it is? It's you. You say, well, I was born like everybody. The Bible says if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. That's what Revelation says. And when you're saved, when you make that choice, you are born again and you're created a new person under the second Adam, Jesus Christ. And so God's primary requirement is that you and I praise him. Our great commission, Brother Ron, is my task is to get people saved. Yep, that's it, but not completely. You read in Psalm 60 to 62, when God's talking about evangelism, he says, let the nations be glad and let them praise me. Our goal is to get people to love the Lord and praise him. So if we don't do it in the church, God will raise up Kanye West. I mean, can you imagine 65,000 people paying over $100 a piece to worship? Why don't we do it here? Well, we did, Brother Ron. Well, some of you did. Some of you watched. But worship is the participatory sport. I look at them, raise their hand. Raise your hand. What's wrong with you? Well, that's Pentecostal. You can lose a little Pentecostalism in your life. Clap. Put one hand together. One hand doesn't work. Hit your knee. That's what I do sometimes. Move your foot. Throw both hands up. Shout every once in a while. Give the Lord some praise. Let's give him some praise right now for dying for us on the cross. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I made it to 2020. Jesus. Hebrews 12. Now, you talked about Zion. Listen to this. You've come to Mount Zion. Talking to the church. The city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels. He's talking about a church gathering. The general assembly and church of the firstborn registered in heaven. I mean, that's us. I mean, can you imagine over 1,000 years ago, David writes this psalm and says, what I'm telling you, I'm writing for a generation that's going to be born again. They're going to be recreated. I'm writing for a generation that's coming, and they're going to praise me. God is looking for worshipers. Jesus told that fallen woman at the well when he saved her. The Father's looking for those that'll worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship. Everybody say worship.
Worship.
Learn to get your praise on. If all you can do is nod your head, Nod. Do something. Let God know you're there. And I want to just throw this out. Choirs are not leaving. They're just going to change. Choral is here. So some of you ought to get off your blessed assurance and get your trumpet out and get in the orchestra and get up here and practice. You don't want to practice. That's why, you know, the reason we don't have great choirs and praise times for a lot of churches today is because people are just too lazy to practice. I'm through with that's ugly, and I wasn't going to be ugly today. Number two, Pastor, we'll get serious about prayer. The one transforming thing I've seen in Ronnie Jr.'s life has been how the Spirit has disturbed him into early morning praying, and how I can see something different about him. And it's been over the past year to his commitment to prayer, to talking to God and believing he's listening. Listen to Psalm 102:17. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. I don't care how bad you've got it. The Father said, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. See, God's looking for people that'll ask him for something. I'll never forget when we were going through one of our financial struggles, I got a phone call from the late Dick Broadbent. He said, Pastor, I heard something. I said, yes, sir, because he sent money every month here as long as he was alive. He said, well, I heard this need. Why didn't you tell me? Well, brother, you're so good to us. He said, but you and I are friends. Don't you know? You can tell me, and if I can help, you or your son, who he predicted then will be pastor one day, and he said, all hell will try to stop it, but don't you let it be stopped. He said, I'm sowing toward what's going to happen under your son, not what's going to happen under you. Yeah. Glory to God. And that's just an example of a father's spirit. I've done a lot for my children. I do what I can for my grandchildren. But I want to tell you something. None of them has ever exhausted what I'd be willing to do if it was needed. And don't you think for one minute you've exhausted God with your request. You haven't. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You have not. Because you ask not. Number three, an awakening will touch the rising generation. If we don't welcome the new sound, the new song, and the young people, even if we don't like the way they look and their music's different from ours, we will have no favor from God. We'll have a nostalgic good time, us old people by ourselves, but we won't be the church of Jesus Christ. Most of us do anything for our kids and grandkids except let them have church like they want to. I go to Venue Church some because he's Ronnie's brother. He's kind of becoming a son to me. I don't like those terms all the time, but enjoying being around younger preachers, and I was with one last week out of town from here, and enjoy being around them very much. But when I go into some of the growing churches, they worship using the same songs we are, but everybody's involved. It's the difference. And somehow when we get older, we think we've retired. We don't have to sing if we don't like it. We don't have to participate. Why don't you give it a try? You know, why don't we give it a try? Why don't we become the church? In Acts 2, that old men dream dreams. And young people can see visions. And he said, upon all of them, I'll pour out my spirit. We've got to engage. If we want favor, we've got to engage and believe that God is creating a new generation around us, and we've got to welcome that generation. And they'll come. They'll come. I know you don't believe this because you see it some here, you don't see it. But wherever I go, I'm never surrounded by my peers. It's always young people and young adults. I have a father's anointing. I can't explain it. This Abba thing. And young people just come stand at the book table. We'll have to ask them if they'd step over here to the side and just look. And I say something to them, but they'll just stand there. Then I finally say, do you need a blessing? Uh-huh. 13, 14-year-olds. Young adults. Because we have the fatherless generation here. And I want to tell you, Abba's house, we have a statue out front with a young person running into the arms of a father. And I want to tell you, if we'll be that, if we'll decide it doesn't have to be like I want it, we're going to create an atmosphere where we're all welcome, especially the rising generation. They shouldn't have to go to a room by themselves to pick up their guitars, which is the Greek word for harp. Their guitars, same word that we use, and do their praise and worship. Yay! I like that, whether you did or not. If anyone's Christ, they're a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. 4, favor comes when we hear the cry of the lost. Look at verse 20, to hear the groaning of the... Now, he announced favor. You remember that? And now he's talking about how you position yourself for favor. And we've been listing those things. This is number 4. To hear the groaning of the prisoner, those who are captive to sin, to release those appointed to death. Now, that's talking about our witness for Jesus Christ, to set the captives free. We sing that. He breaks the power of canceled sin and sets the prisoner free. Wesley said, the chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. We're in the chain-breaking, bondage-delivering ministry when we bring people to Jesus Christ and his shed blood. The church must boldly walk into the harvest field. C.T. Studd said, some want to live under the sound of a chapel bell, but give me a place at the border of hell. That's a soul winning, isn't it? Let me go to the least, the last, and the lost. And if we curse the darkness, we must light the candle as well. It's one thing to diagnose the disease. It's another thing to step in with a cure and make it available. And Jesus shed his blood on the cross, was raised from the dead, and anybody, a Muslim, terrorist, an abortionist, the one who's been a victim of abortion, the left-wing folks we don't like are all candidates for the blood of Jesus. Now, here's the difference between my philosophy and a lot of people. I actually believe you change when you get saved. You become a new creation, part of a new race under the second Adam. Finally, favor will come on those who are connected with God's people in a gathering or a church. This is strange to me in this song, but look at verses 21, 22. To declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem. Now watch this, when the peoples are gathered together. When the peoples are gathered together. That's the Hebrew word, Jones, for heaped up. It's a word used when they herded the sheep and cattle into a fold. It is the word when the harvest is put into the safety of a barn or a building. It's the word for an assembly of people. If you want favor, you need to get connected to a gathering of God's people. Now, here's the thing about God's people. Paul wrote this. Some of you were adulterers. Some of you were homosexuals. Some of you were extortionists. He's talking to the church. He said, such were some of you. So when you come into the church, welcome to the sinner's club. Not perfect. Have you ever noticed how the world characterizes the church? We do one thing wrong, boy, it's in the front page, right? Because they expect us to be better than we are. But I want to inform you, if you're not a Christian and you're not saved, that when you get saved, you're still not going to be perfect, except your spirit is going to be righteous in Christ. The rest of you is going to struggle. And so you need a family. You need a gathering. You need to be a part of the church. You can't do that with your face in a phone or an iPad. There's something powerful about the connection of team. The late Elton Trueblood, the great Quaker scholar, said that and I think this is such a pattern for our church. He said, the future of pastoring will be the pastor will be a player coach, said. That was his vision in the 60s of what would be happening now. A player coach. You say, why? I can tell you why. Because how many of you have ever been a part of a team, a ball team, a football team, a basketball team, a volleyball team? Any kind of team, hold your hand up. How many of you had friends on that team? Keep your hand up. Well, some of you were on your team with enemies, but you have everything in a church. But anyway, how many of you still know some of those folks you played sports with? Hold your hand up. Is there some kind of bond that's just always there because of what happened, win, lose, or draw in that team? Is that little gathering of teammates bring back memories of what you did together that you couldn't do by yourself? I know it has for Paulette and I, and our experience with Trey, and I'm not going to reveal anything, and some of the wonderful teammates that he shared who will be lifelong friends. That's what a church ought to be. We can't know everybody in here and everybody on the roll. But there ought to be a feeling that when Pastor goes to Dominica next week to check on our 100 children down there that we feed and to check on our pastor, he's not perfect either. Go down to check on what's going on there, and he checks and comes back next weekend to be here with us. That I'm on the team, I'm going with him. My heart's going. I'm not going literally, but my heart's going. I did upgrade you to a first class seat, though. Because you got me, not just because I love you, not because you got me this nice shirt, but this helps. There are things we never forget that we do together. And I walk in this building, and I don't see what you see. I see you. But I see those we've loved long since and lost a while too. I see some people that are not here anymore that gave everything they had that you and I could be here today. The church is irreplaceable. I am glad for every kind of thing we can go to that encourages us if we can bring it back and enfold it into the family of God. It's critically important. Now, let me tell you this. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3, the last verses. Now unto him who is able. Everybody say able. to do exceedingly abundantly above all we think or ask, according to the power that works in us, the Holy Spirit. To him be glory, now watch this, in the church, in the gathering, until the age of the ages. You hear me very well. God will set his glory in these last days in the gatherings of his people. And there his favor will be distributed. The reason some of you haven't had the blessing and favor you want in your life is you just don't have a church home. Some of you are visiting here today. And I'm going to ask you on this first Moed, this first feast day of the church, this first day of the week that we've been called together, I'm going to ask you on this day, at this set time, when we know heaven has already broke through here, we can sense the atmosphere and the climate change, I'm going to ask you to leave your seat and come and take our pastor by the hand and say, today my life is coming here. Maybe your family. Today our family is coming here. Don't ever make the mistake of joining a church because of this program or that program. Check the atmosphere. Is it a place where God can move in my life? I don't have time to tell you some stories. I could tell you about folks that have been moved their families from here into good programs and their young people are gone. Because the atmosphere of the Spirit and of what God can do was not welcome. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Please don't flee to the exit unless you have a health or a job situation. Some of you I know have got to go to the hospital with loved ones. I understand. Just be quiet if you have to slip out. But our pastor's down here at the front. And the first thing I want to say, I don't care what's happened to you and how broken your life may be, you can become a new creature in Christ Jesus right now. You can bow your head, and I want you to do that. And everyone pray with me, pray out loud. Let's remind ourselves if we're already saved. If we're not saved, let's pray this and mean it. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I've sinned. Thank you for dying for my sins on the cross. I believe you're alive and hearing me pray. Come into my life right now and save me. I will never turn my back on you. If you prayed that prayer and meant it, whether you're a church member or not a church member, but you really believe you're giving your life to Jesus starting this year, I want you to come and tell the pastor, I prayed to receive Jesus. He's going to hand you to a counselor that'll pray that prayer with you again. We'll get some information and make sure that this new year begins. But here's the thing, I was really on my spirit. Those of you that are visiting with us today that need a church home, I'm going to ask you to leave your seat. Now, you can go back to the guest reception and do this. I understand that. But I want you, it's like a marriage. I want you to say, I do. I want to be a part of this church in front of everybody. I'm going to ask you to leave your seat as a family or as a single and walk up here and say, Pastor, I want to connect. I want to be a part of this gathering. I want to join Abba's house. I want this next year to invest my life, and I'm going to believe that in my connection here, favor is going to be released in my life, in my business, in my home, in my schoolwork, whatever it may be. I'm going to ask you to make that decision. Before we pray for anybody else, I want you to stand on your feet. If you gave your life to Jesus, no other counselors come up here yet. If you gave your life to Jesus when we prayed, or you wanted to, I want you to leave your seat and say, this beginning of this year, I'm going to give my whole life to Jesus. I want you to come and tell the pastor. Second, if you're visiting today and want to be a member of this church, you want to put your hand in the hand of the man of God, the pastor, and say, today is my day to say, yes, I want to be a part of this great ministry worldwide, and I want favor in my life, and I'm positioning myself. I'm going to be a part of the gathering, as the Bible says, where God sets his glory. If that's you, I want you to leave your seat. If you need to speak to a family member, please do that, and then make your way down one of these aisles right now. I want to be saved. I want to be a part of the gathering. Today I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to cast my vote for Jesus right now. I'm going to position my life for God's blessing. All the way in the back, down front. Those online can be a distant member till you can find a church where you are. Make a decision today. While we sing this praise song, leave your seat right now and come and put your hand in the pastor's hand right now. In Jesus' name. Who will be the first to step out and say yes?